now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
What I find most uplifting about all this isn't specifically Cup Week. It is that this symbolises the future.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
Oh, there's never a dull moment in racing, especially when we are in the middle of the Spring Carnival, building up to the biggest week in racing. RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart, is across it all. Another day and another couple of bombshells. Matty, I can't believe the timing that the CT scanner, which has been working for 2 years without any hiccups, has decided to break down just days out from the Melbourne Cup, with still half the field remaining to be scanned.
It reminds me of that saying of "you had one job," and that job is to get the CT scanner right for 1 week of the year. Look, these things happen. I mean, I'm only joking about that. I mean, there's no attributable blame. If these things are just weird things that can happen from time to time, but it was encouraging that Jamie's in the race against time to get the part and get it all up and going. That he's feeling a little bit more confident maybe that they will be able to put the net over the cup runners with the CT scanner, but it's going to be dependent on whether that part gets here on time.
Yeah, it is. And I think it was interesting having a chat to Danny O'Brien, and Danny O'Brien's reaction to the news on Young Werther and the fact that he said two out of three independent vets had confirmed the lesion, as they are calling it, that showed up on Young Werther. And Dr. Chris Whitten, who has done a lot of research into fatalities and limbs and the damage to limbs in the lead up to accidents, said that this is the classic determined area that could have caused a fatality or a catastrophic accident. Not certain, but there's a chance that it could. So I thought the way Danny O'Brien, the connections, have handled that has been a very good pointer to the fact that this is just that extra layer of safety.
I think Marmelo had a similar lesion, potential catastrophic injury situation as well. And we go back to Huey Morrison a couple of years ago with all that drama. But I know that Marmelo was probably in a similar boat. Danny O'Brien has been very supportive of the need for hoops to be jumped through right from the start after Anthony Van Dyck. So it's pretty much consistent with his previous support of these measures on the internationals. So, it's a shame to lose Young Werther, but it all changes the interesting situation with the ballot order now, with floating artists at number 27 and a high attrition rate, with maybe the CT scanner, if they can get it up and running, knocking a few more out. So it'll be interesting to hear from Dave Eustace later about the waiting game now to work out whether the ballot list requires them to run floating artist in the Lexus, or whether they can roll the dice and not go around. I had a chat to Archie Alexander about Mosh Music. He said, look, if she doesn't run top three in the Bendicope Cup tomorrow, she's out. So that's another one that this $26 chance floating artist can leap ahead of. And, of course, his situation is that he was unlucky in the Coogee, misses the Caulfield Cup, unlucky in the Moonee Valley Cup, is down the list in the Melbourne Cup. So he's just one of those fringe dwellers who needs to cut a break. So we'll see what happens there. But it'll be interesting to hear from Dave Eustace.
And the biggest name with a question mark next to it is Very Elegant. Speaking with connections, it's 50-50. Some owners want to run. Chris Waller is being extremely cautious. They'll have to make a decision either today or tomorrow. He's concerned that maybe running against a horse like Incentivise at the end of her campaign, where she had that little hiccup, what damage that could do and how much it could flatten her. But the ratings showed that she ran well in a Cox Plate, getting back towards her best, and she's a superior stayer. So there's going to be a lot of discussions about Very Elegant at the moment. She is no certain starter in the Melbourne Cup, and of course she'd be top three, top four in the market if she was to go around.
Well, and a glamour runner, just a famous runner. You need famous horses in Melbourne Cups, I think. Speaking of the Eustace and Ma stable, Gold Trip's heading to Sydney tomorrow and arrives, much later that day. I had a chat to Mark Van Gestel. It'll be interesting to hear Dave Eustace on this as well. The take from the stable, and also from Peter Moody with Nickajack Cave, has been, well, the stewards down here and the vets are are too severe, so we'll go to Sydney. But they also have to confront the veterinary assessment of Racing New South Wales vets as well, with Gold Trip and potentially Nickajack Cove, who moods isn't decided yet. And I did have a chat to Mark Van Gestel about what's the process when Gold Trip arrives. And he said, well, we'll be getting the diagnostic reports from Racing Victoria. See, they do work together from time to time. We'll be getting the diagnostic reports from Racing Victoria. Our vets will be having a look at those, and then they'll be doing the standard trot up that the Victorian vets will have done as well with Gold Trip, and the scenario won't be any different. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens, though. If Nickajack Cave and Gold Trip end up in Sydney and the Sydney vets say, yep, we've got no problem with you running, as you were suggesting yesterday on the verdict, it's a weird... two separate interpretations of the same set of circumstances. So it'll be interesting to see whether they block him as well or whether they give him the green light.
Well, we'll have a chat to Dave Eustace coming up in around about 10 minutes' time. So that'll be one to watch there. Moonee Valley, you were very strong yesterday about the quality of the Cox Plate. You were very strong over the weekend. And also there's been a lot of discussion about what the carnival should look like before we get what Michael Brown thinks about how the carnival may change. Vin Cox, he had to write a reply this morning with the Brekkie boys, and he was pretty firm in what he had to say, and I'm not too sure who he was pointing most of this at. Have a listen, Matty.
Oh, I think he'd be pretty competitive. I think that those sort of comments are pretty insulting to owners of horses, whether it's in Australia or the world over, Joseph O'Brien's and things like that. That colt, you know, he won a Group 1 in America by a big space. And then he comes over here and wins a Cox Plate, no less, here. They're good quality races. You don't do that by accident. Mm. I think the only thing I'd suggest to you commentators is you need to race a few more horses because it's not that easy.
Yeah, someone who that was directed at. But, so the impression from England, which is where he'd been, done most of his racing before going to Saratoga, was that he was a long, long way down the list of high-class horses in England. And he won a race in America, which Adelaide did as well, and then Adelaide came ahead and won a Cox Plate. So you might argue that the easy pickings are Saratoga and Moonee Valley, and the hard pickings is the big circuit of Europe. But one thing I will disagree with Vin about is I don't think you should ever not make a critique of a horse for fear of upsetting the owners. I know there's the old saying about it, because I think racing's all about assessment and ratings and rankings and opinion. If you take that out of it, then there's not really much to talk about with horses, is there, if you take that element out. So anyway, agree to disagree.
Yeah, so Dan O'Sullivan, who we get to do the ratings, and he's done a piece on racing.com, said State of Rest's win in the Cox Plate rated at 106, according to his ratings, which in comparison to last year, Sir Dragonet rated a 106 as well. Other runners that have been in that same similar ballpark, Seamus Award 105.8. Winx's wins range from 110 to 115. And then you go back to Adelaide, who had a 109, who you said was a pretty average winner there as well. So there's some context as far as the ratings compared to other years.
Yeah, and Adam Blenko from Timeform had a similar view, and Paul Bloodworth had a similar view as him on Twitter, and we had a bit of an engagement on that as well. No, I stand very firm on my view. I don't care what the ratings people interpret it and spin it. There's a bigger issue with our industry and the horses we're producing and how there's leakage and so on, and I think a lot of people acknowledge that as well. So, you know what? I'm arrogant enough to not care what they think, Michael.
And that's why we love you. What about the carnival as a whole at the Valley? I believe there's a board meeting today to discuss the entire Cox Plate Carnival, as they do each and every year. What do you think may come out of that?
Yeah, there's been an interesting suggestion from a lot of people that there is a way around the Everest. If the Everest doesn't move, then we can bring the Manikato back to a previously early date and the Moya can move. So whatever we do, we give enough space around the Everest where we might get Everest horses. I think the attitude from Victoria, I know the attitude from Victoria is, why should we be bowing to Peter Volandis and his unflinching attitude towards the Everest? If he only brought the Everest back a week to Caulfield Guineas Day, it is no detriment to New South Wales. They win, you know, they get a great race and the coverage and all that sort of stuff. But then it just gives us the breathing space. If he won't make that polite gesture to just bring it back a week, why should Victoria scamper around to adjust its carnival just because the Everest won't move? So I think that if this meeting today doesn't get anywhere, and that the, you know, I mentioned the other day that there were things going on in various meetings yesterday, today, and maybe tomorrow, that by the end of the week, if there's no resolution with and no enticement from Peter Vlandis to yield on some of his staunch things about the pattern and other issues, the whip and Altrenagest and other things, that it's going to come to a crunch, and it may be a very interesting time ahead in that respect. So maybe this Moonee Valley board meeting today will be part of that bigger story as far as, well, this is our position. We are the Moonee Valley board. This is our position. We're not going to budge. Or if we do, we expect you to budge as well. And if you won't, then we've got a real problem and we're going to have to do something sideways to work it out.
It's a big issue. And I suppose it's something that there's probably a number of factors at play. This SMS is an interesting one from one of the listeners here, saying that had that Cox Plate been upheld, we'd never have seen any of the O'Briens racing horses back here in Australia. I do note Joseph O'Brien did have another crack, despite winning the Cox Plate, at the protocols being put in place for the horses, the overseas horses, to pass, to be fit to race. This SMS just continues going on, saying Australian racing clearly needs imports for the spring carnival. This year's Geelong Cup field, tomorrow's Bendigo Cup field, represent the worst fields I can recall. It's a political outcome. Likewise, the Manicato, a Group $1 million race, was a pitiful indictment this year's spring carnival. I don't know what the answer is, but how do we reverse Sydney's dominance and encroachment?
By hoping that Sydney accepts that that's what it's been doing, and then that we can all sit down and be friends and come up with a pattern that gives everyone its best chance. And if it can't, then maybe the pattern will have to work around New South Wales. Who knows? So we'll see what happens there. Was there a grab from Joseph O'Brien?
Do you want to have a listen to what he had to
let's
say?
Have a
here
listen.
Here
yep.
we go. Let's have a listen to what Joseph had to say.
I can't tell you how much of a struggle it was to get through all the hoops and the scans and all the different things. And to be quite honest, had I known how difficult it would have been to get through all the hoops, I'm not sure we would have even went down in the first place. You know, really, it was a struggle, and I'd like to think that in the years to come, that you know, they'll be reviewing the protocols that they have in place for us each year.
Yeah, it's all heading towards something has to give, isn't it? I think now that we're experiencing a spring campaign with very, very limited internationals, and we're feeling a little bit that we miss them rather than that we're doing well without them, and the difficulties that Joseph and Aidan and Charlie Fellows have expressed, I got a feeling that the scintigraphy might be put in the too hard basket. What do you reckon?
I think there's definitely going to be a full and frank review post-spring carnival. What's interesting is that in that interview on racing.com last night, he said also that State of Rest had to be sedated up to four times in 1 week. Now, that seems quite a lot. It obviously hasn't impacted the horse's performance in the Cox Plate, but just on that point, there's another SMS which is, I think, an important and salient point from a listener here. For integrity, fairness and transparency of all betting markets, Racing Victoria stewards must release the details of the horses that are sedated for scans on Thursday, if they are, which is getting close to the Melbourne Cup. If they don't, there'll be two playing fields of horses who have been scanned and sedated weeks in advance to those just days in advance. Hands up. Who wants to back a horse today and on Thursday and is running in a cup on Tuesday. It's an interesting point, isn't it? And the other point is, should we know who the 16 horses that haven't had the full CT scans are heading into a Melbourne Cup?
Hasn't this become a complicated nightmare? All they wanted to do was protect the Melbourne Cup and throw a few hoops in place, and then every single one of them has a byproduct of, you know, that makes everything so complicated now, and public disclosure and transparency, and it's all become a bloody nightmare, hasn't it? So, it's going to be interesting. The 2022 requirements compared to the 2021 will be fascinating to see what has yielded and what we've learned from the lesson from all these unexpected problems. So it will be really interesting. Hey, just before I play you something from Archie Alexander, it's really interesting actually, because there's been a betting plunge on Shaylot in the race that not many thought that Shaylot would run in. But just a couple of things. Eduardo, I spoke to Joseph Pride about Eduardo this morning. There was a story yesterday that he was at a fork in the road, either running in the Classique Legend in Sydney on Saturday or the Dali down here. He's going to accept for the Classique Legend and then still weigh it up, so he hasn't made his mind up. There was a really interesting What The story from the UK. The world's leading trainer, John Gosden, has a positive to ketamine. And as you may or may not know, ketamine has become one of those social drugs of the moment for the young partygoers out there. And the horse, Franconia, lost the race because of the positive to ketamine. But what the interesting, and it was concluded from, and John Gosden got a £500 fine, and the penalty givers were reasonably comfortable that the ketamine came from a drug-using staff member. But John Gosden went on the BBC yesterday and blasted the BBC or BBC Radio 4 for making a suggestion that drugs were rife, not just socially in racing, but in horses, and that they suggested that John Gosden had given ketamine to one of his horses, and he absolutely blasted them for their interpretation of news stories on racing over there. And we have the same issue here with press releases about innocuous things that get blown up into drug stories and things like that. And it's interesting that Gosden's experienced this, and he absolutely teed off against the... I'll just read a little paragraph at the last bit where he... Everybody who won't bother to read the result of this inquiry will assume that I go around giving ketamine to horses to make them win races. I contend you, it was pretty shocking to listen to. It puts a stain on your character. So the responsibility of the outside media to report horse racing accurately has never been under greater scrutiny, and Gosden's teed off about it, which is interesting.
Mm. Well, you can understand why. It's a pretty bad headline for someone of his reputation and standing, which is obviously totally untrue. So this time of year, when the spotlight's on racing and you get people who don't cover racing normally, those type of misinterpretations and misrepresentations can be made. Now, I'll give you one
example of that. This is a classic one. When a naive young ABC reporter during the Black Caviar era rang Peter Moody and genuinely asked him this. Do you remember this one? How do you think Black Caviar will go against Farlap in Tuesday's Melbourne Cup? That was the genuine question.
You sure it wasn't from the Chaser boys?
No, it was a genuine question.
Too outlandish.
There's been a bit of a go on. Archie Alexander had Shalo, who's a high-class mare, as we know, especially on a dry track, in the Empire Rose and the Cantala on Saturday. She's always been in the market for the Empire Rose. Yesterday, there was a massive go on Shalo to win the Cantala, $26 into $11. And I had a chat to Archie about which race was most likely this morning.
At this stage, we're probably 50-50. I think we're just going to have a good think about it all and see who's going where. But the main thing is the races are on the same day, over the same distance, and the mare's in really good form. So it's quite an easy call as far as planning. So good options to have.
See, she's been backed off the map for the Cantala.
Yeah, look, I don't know whether that's just nothing's changed with her. I think it's probably just because we've... Now I said we may be looking into that, whether punters have looked at the bigger odds there, but no, we're really happy with it.
Accept with both and then make a call, or make a call before acceptances?
No, we'll make a call before acceptances. Look, like I said, from a training point of view, it's very easy. It's not like when you're having to get horses ready for two different days on two different distances, it's quite hard, but same day, same distance. The mayor won't know any difference. He'll just turn up and she'll be in one or the other.
Well, we'll follow the money trial or we'll wait and see. She's going to be one of the great question marks heading towards Derby Day. There's some really, really good races on Derby Day. And yesterday's a long way from Derby Day, and it's a long way from Cox Plate Day, the Monday meeting at Benalla. But I wanted to play a little grab. Hannah Edgley, it's a story that gets lost this time of year, but she not only won her first race yesterday, she then made it a double. And have a listen to her after the race.
Ballerina Magic had gone to the front from Lucky Rockstar. Kutara still coming on the outside. Ballerina Magic, though, is the leader, and it's going to hold off. Kutara went the shortest way home, and Ballerina Magic won it a length. Don Dubbin just, it's been a big day for the girl. Sockies is trying to pick it back. Don Dubbin fights on. Sockies driving. Oh, gee, last stride maybe Socky's as she spoilt Hannah Edsley's party. It's close.
I can't believe it. When I passed the post, I was like, no, surely not. But he was just an amazing horse, and he was just so persistent, he wasn't going to give up.
How good is that? Her enthusiasm and excitement was just palpable after both those wins yesterday. Her first win in, I think it was her 11th ride, and then she had a double two races later, one for her master Ben Brisbane and then one for Brent Stanley. She grew up in the area. She's been a track rider for 5 years. She said, I just love going fast. I always wanted to be a jockey, and that's a day she'll never, ever forget.
I love that. Well, just the joy in her voice was just amazing. You know, the female jockeys won every race at Toowoomba on the weekend as well. They're just killing it. Killing it.